I'm Carlo Maley. I'm a evolutionary cancer biologist.
Did you start off as a biologist, or did you come to this from a different field?
I actually started off as a computer scientist and an evolutionary biologist, and then came into cancer after I got my PhD.
So tell me what you were talking about at this workshop.
We were talking about the mutability of cancer, how it changes over time when we apply therapy or other selective pressures to it.
And by understanding that, you hope, what, to intervene in some way at some stage?
Well, this has been the central challenge in curing cancer, is that every time you apply a drug to it, you select for resistant cells, just like spraying pesticide on a field and selecting for resistant pests. If you do that enough time, pests will evolve that are resistant to your pesticide. When you do this in cancer, you apply a drug to the tumor and you select out the resistant cells that are resistant to your therapy. And so we're trying to understand how to avoid that. That's the central problem in curing cancer these days.
As you said, that is a problem, but yet most patients are treated with chemotherapy. Is there something going on that shouldn't be going on?
Well, I would say there hasn't been a lot of work yet in understanding the nature of the therapeutic resistance that evolves and then better strategies for avoiding that. That's just starting now, and a lot of the people at this workshop were discussing how to do this work better.
Have you got any ideas that you can tell me about?
Oh, sure. The simplest one is, because this process of resistance to therapy is an evolutionary process, if you could slow down the rate of evolution, you could actually slow down the rate of relapse so that people could live much longer before their tumors emerge again, evolve, come back after therapy. So we're thinking about what determines the rate of evolution and what interventions, what drugs, what kinds of things we could do to slow that rate.
And what ideas have you got about slowing the rate of evolution?
Well, one of the basic things that drives this rate of evolution is the mutation rate. So if you could slow down the mutation rate, you could actually slow down this process. And one of the things that causes mutations in cancer are exposures like smoking, but also we think inflammation causes mutations through the production of reactive oxygen species and oxygen radicals, as you probably have heard. And in some cancers, it looks like taking anti-inflammatory drugs like aspirin seems to at least prevent cancers. I should say there's a whole other story here, which is the process of getting cancer is also an evolutionary process. If you could slow down that down, we wouldn't get cancer until our hundreds or 120s or whatever it is we could live to. So one path to reducing the mutation rate would actually be in reducing the inflammation, probably more important early in tumor development rather than in late stage cancer.
You just mentioned, though, that it would be much better if we could prevent people getting cancers in the first place. Apart from the obvious things that we all know about, what sort of clever techniques are scientists coming up with?
Oh, well, I think the obvious things are still the most powerful. That is, not smoking and eating diets that are rich in fruits and vegetables, exercising, etc. People are trying to come up with drugs that either kill early cancer cells or prevent the process from taking off. And that's still very early work, although there's a lot of interest in that field. One of the big challenges is that you don't know who would have gone to get cancer in the first place. So if your drugs have any kind of toxicity, if they cause any damage of their own, you might be doing more harm than good. So the bar is much higher in cancer prevention. In cancer therapy, the person's going to die soon anyway unless you intervene. And so you can tolerate, it's okay to, if your drug has some toxicity, it's better than dying in the next few months.
So I know that you were talking some clever science in the meeting. Can you just elaborate a little bit?
Sure. I mean, I think some of the most exciting things were actually discussed by John Pepper today in terms of asking what is the immediate cause of death in a cancer patient. It's not the cancer cells per se. It's your immune system collapses and you get an infection, or cancer seems to be triggering a starvation response called cachexia. And there's good arguments for intervening in the immediate cause of death, not trying to kill the cancer cells, just trying to prevent the death of the patient or the morbidity in the patient, the painful side effects of cancer. If you don't kill the cancer cells, then you don't select for resistance. And you might actually be able to live with cancer for decades and make it a chronic disease rather than an acute disease. And I think that's an exciting area that there's been very little work on it. And I think there's strong reasons to believe that we could make a lot of progress in that area.
Do you think that your background as something other than a cancer biologist is beneficial in your work nowadays?
Oh, very much so. I think my big contribution, the reason I'm able to add anything to the conversation and the research about cancer, is that I have an evolutionary biology background. And most of cancer researchers do not have an evolutionary biology background. And so there's been a blind spot in terms of addressing the evolutionary dynamics of the cells within tumors. And it's just now becoming recognized an important field that we need to expand, because this evolutionary process is fundamental both to how we get cancer and why we haven't been able to cure it. So there's a lot of exciting tools from evolutionary biology that we can bring into cancer biology and cancer research.
And I've been realizing that the chemotherapy regimes that are used at the moment seem to be very blunt instruments, that maybe we ought to take more care and actually look at each individual person and their cancer.
Yeah, the traditional chemotherapies attempt to kill every proliferating cell in your body. And because the cancer cells proliferate more than your normal cells, it has some therapeutic benefit. But your entire digestive tract sloughs off and your hair falls out. And as we all know, it's an extremely painful and awful experience to go through. More modern therapies try to target the cancer cells, particular mutations in cancer cells or particular aspects of the cancer cells that distinguish them from normal and are hopefully less toxic. Unfortunately, both forms of therapy select for resistance. But one of the things that's been talked about a lot here is what's called competitive release in ecology. That is, if you kill off all the competitors, in this case all the sensitive cells in a tumor, then it's much easier for the resistant cells to proliferate, because now there's no longer limited by space or the resources that their competitors are taking up. And so in some cases, we think we see this in the clinic, that after therapy, patients relapse very quickly and we can't treat the relapse tumor very well.
And how important do you think it is for cancer biologists to know something about evolution?
Oh, actually, I think it's critical, because it's the fundamental process driving these hard problems in cancer. And so, in fact, I think for everybody involved in cancer, both patients and doctors and researchers, it's important to understand and address these evolutionary processes. And it's an example of why evolution is relevant to our everyday lives and touches all of us, both in cancer as well as infectious disease.
What are you getting out of a workshop like this, where they have people from different disciplines?
Oh, it's really a great environment to generate new ideas and bring ideas in from different fields that we hadn't even heard of before, and strike up new collaborations and open up whole new research fields that we hope can drive progress in defeating these diseases.